This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
If we entrust this nation to Joe, he will do for your family what he did for ours. Bring us together and make us whole. Carry us forward in our time of need. Keep the promise of America for all of us.
Biden's plan is the most radical, extreme, reckless, dangerous, and deadly immigration plan ever put forward by a major party candidate. It must be defeated, and it will be defeated on November 3rd. It will be defeated.
And that's a wrap, as they say. The Democratic Convention comes to an end. A couple of the quick moments that I thought were interesting. A few days ago, Jill Biden, who is the potential first lady, obviously married to Joe Biden, and the portrait they painted, the Democrats, of the Bidens there, talking about family and bringing us together, and then President Trump on his road swing on the rallies in Arizona talking about immigration and what immigration would look like under Joe Biden. So family of a different sort. We heard all kinds of things, I think, through the Democratic Convention. The Republicans' turn is up next week, and I think they'll address some of what they heard in a different way. Not address it necessarily, but come back with something forceful that's the opposite of naturally of what was presented by the Democrats and the kind of show that they put on. It was interesting to see how the program started for the fourth day. You had Senator Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, very popular in their own areas. They both speaking, and then the performance by the Chicks, because remember, they're not Dixie Chicks anymore. They took that out of their name. And the governor, Gavin Newsom from California, the problems that they've been having with the coronavirus, and Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms as well, and Senator Tammy Baldwin. These were all people that were being considered for vice president. I mean, not so much Baldwin, I think more Senator Tammy Duckworth, who also appeared. How you doing, America? Kate Delaney, thrilled to have you here playing in my sandbox. And this, as I said, is a wrap. It is the end of the line for the Milwaukee virtual convention for the Democrats, and it ended with Vice President Joe Biden giving his speech, his big moment. And it's interesting when you go back and look at the history of Joe Biden. I have to say, I would have never thought, although I did handicap it, I think it was obvious that he was going to be the guy, but I would have never thought Joe Biden was going to get to this point. I did not think it was going to be Joe Biden years and years ago when you would see him continually run for that office. And there was something about his son telling him to do it. And then when the rest of the Democrats, one by one, fell out, then it was Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And, of course, the nod ultimately goes to Joe Biden. So we'll see what the next couple of months look like. I think it's going to be a wild race to the finish here in November. It's unprecedented territory once again. We certainly have not been in a pandemic, or I have not, and I know many of you have not been in a pandemic, and what's happened to the country really since March, the beginning of March, and how our lives have all dramatically changed in some way, and who is best to lead out of that. Will we see that President Trump gets another 4 years and being the fourth president to do that then in a row, or is it going to be Joe Biden? I think the biggest moment for the Democrats still goes back to Michelle Obama and her speech, because so much was made of that. And then the president waited and then talked about her being divisive and having a taped speech and that kind of thing as he was on his campaign trail doing the campaign rally kind of thing. And handicapping this from the perspective technically and watching a convention this way, which we're going to see some version of this with the Republicans, I thought after the first night there was a couple of shaky things, but it wasn't awful. And then the rest of the way it got smoother. There's something about watching it virtually, though. The applause missing and the roaring crowds that would yell out after certain things were said is very strange, but that's the world we live in, like I keep saying, and it's the thing that we keep seeing over and over again with sports, where there's nobody cheering, right? We're watching it, and somebody hits a single, somebody hits a double, you know, somebody makes an incredible play and in the outfield, and then, you know, then you'll hear the fake applause. It's very strange. All right, on this show, I want to jump to this because, you know, now the coronavirus has taken the lives of over 170,000 Americans, and none of us, I don't care whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever you call yourself, nobody wants to see anybody die from this. But it's interesting, the race to the vaccine and whether or not people will take the vaccine. In this new poll, and you know, polls are small and can mean anything and can be slanted in different directions, but this was an NBC News SurveyMonkey weekly tracking poll. And the poll found if there is this government-approved coronavirus vaccine, when it's available, would you take it? 44% of U.S. adults said yes when they were asked if they would get it. 22 said they wouldn't get a vaccine. 32 said they're unsure. I like the 32 because it makes me think, well, are they being cautious because they want to know more? How effective is it? What were the trials like? That whole thing. And then you break it down by education, or they did anyway in this poll. 68% of adults with a postgraduate degree said, yeah, they're going to get the vaccine. 56% of people with graduate degrees, 38% of people with some college experience, 36% of people with a high school degree or less saying they would get a vaccine. And then, of course, you go on from there. I mean, it could be ridiculous with this and break it down in all kinds of ways. But you got a bunch of companies working on this vaccine. It's Operation Warp Speed for the SARS-CoV /2, the virus that causes COVID-19. And even Russia last week said it has a vaccine ready, but medical experts are looking at that with some skepticism about it since a phase 3 trial had not been completed. But it's interesting that only 44% of adults said they would get the vaccine. I want you to think about this. And we've had this unofficial poll that's been rolling, and it's kind of 50-50. So is it distrust of the government? Is it saying, you know what, this isn't a full-on trial, and as much as I want to do this, I'm not going to do it, and I think it's too risky? Pretty intriguing. Speaking of risky, I talked about this a couple of days ago, but Notre Dame canceled in-person classes for 2 weeks. What's interesting is, you know, if a lot of out-of-state kids, they're saying, no, the kids stay in the dorm, but we're canceling the in-person classes because we've seen a spike in these cases. So 80 students out of 418 tested for a positive result. Two off-campus parties, naturally, we got to have those parties, were blamed for the spike, and most of those testing positive were senior undergrads, according to the school. So there you go. Once again, we point to the parties, but it's interesting the way they're handling that, because if the cases continue to rise, then you might have the kids leave school. They'll order them to go home. And if not, they're just quarantined. They'll take the classes online from their dorms or off-campus apartments, and then voila, they'll continue. They'll get to go back. I think that's kind of a smart decision on Notre Dame's part. Don't just panic and clear the decks. Wait and see what happens. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, we're hitting the mailroom.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot preparedness company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
And welcome to the mailbag. As the Democrats say goodbye to their virtual campaign for 2020, and Joe Biden is the nominee for president and Kamala Harris his running mate, they move on and go campaigning virtually or social distancing or whatever way they're going to end up getting the message out. I think you're going to see a lot of interesting campaign pieces that will start to flood the market. And many of you talked about that politics anyway, in what you sent this time around in the mailbag. By the way, you can send me your thoughts 24/7, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Let's go to this one. Razor, I love that nickname. Razor says, hey, Kate, it's interesting. I was looking at Drudge Report, and I know that you go there and look at some of the links on the Drudge Report, and did you see the picture they had a couple of days ago of the Clintons and the Trumps, where they looked like they were having a very good time at a party? It was just a funny thing to lead with. And you had Bill Clinton, who spoke the other day, and you had Trump, who slammed him, and the headline I thought was hilarious, where it said, "Impeached President slams impeached president." You know what? It's funny you say that, because it caught my eye when I was looking at different sources, and I was making some calls and texting and whatever, and somebody said, "Hey, look at look what Drudge has up, the photo he has up," and it just looked like they were actually having a great time, I don't know, in the photo. You know, what do they say about politics makes strange bedfellows, something like that? You never know. All right, let's move on to this one. This is from Nick, and Nick says, "Hi, Kate, this is the second time I think I've emailed the show, and I was wondering if you were paying attention to that whole white rhino thing. I know everybody's completely mesmerized by what's happening politically, and I get it. I'm not downplaying the election, but sometimes we need a break from all that nonsense. And there were eggs that were harvested, I guess, from the last two northern white rhinos. You know what? I did did see stuff about that. I've been following that story about the white rhino, and they did get some eggs, and this was in Kenya, and they're trying to save the subspecies from extinction. 10 eggs were harvested, easy for me to say, from the female rhinos at this conservancy. What? I have too much coffee. From the conservancy in Kenya. Thank you very much. Oh, my mother would be proud. I enunciated. Anyway, the scientists said they want to create more viable embryos that would transfer into surrogates, since the two that they have can carry a pregnancy to term. Isn't that interesting? The eggs are the third round to be taken from these two females since August of 2019, and they were flown to a lab in Italy to be artificially inseminated with frozen sperm from another northern white rhino bull that is deceased. I don't know, the pictures are really wild to look at them. There's something about rhinoceroses. There's a favorite place I like in Texas. Put it on your bucket list if you're ever in a place called near Granbury. It's Glen Rose, I guess, really, Texas. And they've got a place called Fossil Rim, and it is so cool. And they have rhinos there. It's like one of the last things you see. You drive through it. And that experience, I think I've probably done it a dozen times. It's different every single time. And it is so fun. And you see the rhinos, not a white rhino, but you see the rhinos at the tail end of it. All right, I'm purposely going to some other things besides the conventions and the politics as usual. I'm trying to look at a couple of other things. So this was interesting. I got this email from Ted, who says, Kate, are you shocked that the Senate panel concluded that Russia interfered in the 2016 election? No, I'm not shocked at all, because what do you think the Russians are going to do? How are they going to intermingle or try to pull strings in certain directions? I mean, this is what they do. The biggest amount of spies in this country are Russian spies, supposedly. And how many of them are in Washington, D.C.? So the interactions with the intelligence services during the presidential campaign is what the Senate panel is concluding, that it was a grave and counterintelligence threat. And it's like a 1,000-page report. I looked at a tiny bit of what I saw of that. And it was the fifth, believe it or not, the fifth and final one from the Senate Intelligence Committee, which, of course, is Republican-led, on the Russia investigation. So we weren't done with Russia. And there's more details on how Russia launched an aggressive effort to interfere in the election and on the president's behalf, is what the report is saying. And it's really the culmination of a bipartisan investigation that produced what the committee said is the most comprehensive description to date of Russia's activities and the threat they pose. Well, there's the good part right there. The threat they pose. Duh. Of course they pose a threat. Robert Mueller was so crazy, that Russia investigation, where now we're just seeing the same thing over and over again. Okay, didn't we already see this? That they were involved somehow. Here's the thing that's the sticky wicket. Is because they were involved, and let's say they were involved and they wanted the president to win, it doesn't mean the president was involved in it. And there's this throwing under the bus scenario that keeps happening. And of course, the president doesn't help himself, where he keeps calling the Russian investigation a hoax, a hoax, a hoax. And he said he didn't know anything about the report or Russia or the Ukraine. He had nothing to do with Russia, which that's what has been said all along. I have nothing to do with Russia, but didn't know what was happening with the report. And I'm sure that's smart to distance. And again, because they're involved and they pick something that they want to see happen, doesn't mean the person is. I mean, I have no idea. I think it's insane that there is no solid conclusion. And we've said that. Let the chips fall where they may. Like, how many years ago? 4 years ago? Wow. Crazy, right? Let's see. Let's go to this one. This one is from Chris, who says, colleges are going to track students digitally all the time. Isn't that creepy to you? Would you have liked it if that had happened to you, Kate, when I think you said you were a Bobcat and you went to Ohio University? Oh, no. Would I want to be tracked in any way? We didn't even think about that. We weren't walking around with cell phones. We weren't connected to social media. Privacy issues, we talked about them, but we weren't over the top about it because some of the technology didn't exist then. But there's a school in Michigan that's requiring students to download a phone app that tracks their location and private health data at all times. And they're saying the reason they're doing it is not to track them all the time, it's to track them from, you know, help them from getting the coronavirus, so to track them for that. And it's Alvian College. And it's one of the first schools in the country to tackle contact tracing. And they're working with this to create this COVID bubble on campus and asking students to stay within the school's 4.5 million perimeter for the entire semester. And if a student leaves the campus, the app will notify the administration and the student could be temporarily suspended. Now, that's the tricky part. Wait, I'm apt. And so you are being traced, but you would also know when something is happening, too. I don't know, a mandatory use of an app? And then what happens with the students? If the school... I don't know. They can't leave, what happens? They leave work. What if they stray out of that area? I don't know. And the parents have to make the choice between keeping their kid in school or signing off on a university-sanctioned invasion of privacy. That's the other part of it. So you're going to sign that? I don't think I could sign that document. Invasion of privacy. Oh, yes, you can track me. But then the idea is, well, look, you look at the NBA, we want to have a bubble. This is the only way we legally can do it. I bet you there would be too much of an uproar and it won't work. I mean, I think it could work, but I think there'd be too much of an uproar to make that happen, to make that become a reality. I don't see it. Oh, that'd be a tough... It wouldn't be a tough choice. I mean, if you don't want to be tracked and you can't agree to that, then you can't go to the school. But what if people really like the school the way it used to be? We can't say those phrases anymore. They have been ixnayed from this show. We can't go back in a bottle. We can't go back in time like that. So we just have to accept whatever the reality is. I'm going to be following this story and see what the percentages of people who sign up versus those who don't. To me, that's very, very curious. Very curious. All right, speaking of money and such and adventures, Jeff Quaif is coming up, and he's got quite a story to tell. He's got a killer novel. You're going to love him, and it breaks up all the conversation about politics as usual and COVID-19. So stay with us. We're swinging to the other side.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Most states around the U.S. have yet to apply for government funding, providing their out-of-work residents with an additional $300 in federal weekly jobless benefits and $100 from each individual state. Federal officials said 19 states have applied for the aid since President Donald Trump issued the executive order August 8th authorizing the assistance. 11 states have already been approved to offer the extra payments, while another 8 states are going through the approval process. One of the big questions surrounding President Trump's order is when the money would reach the bank accounts of millions of out-of-work Americans, and the answer is it depends on when each state applies, as well as how long it takes for the state to get their systems up and running to disperse the money. The states that have been approved for the grants are Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Iowa, Louisiana, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Utah. This is USA Radio News. President Donald Trump's former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, was pulled from a luxury yacht and arrested on allegations that he and three associates ripped off donors trying to fund a southern border wall. The organizers of the We Build the Wall group portrayed themselves as eager to help the president build a big, beautiful barrier along the U.S.-Mexican border, as he promised during the 2016 campaign. They raised more than $25 million and pledged that 100% of the money would be used for the project. Hours after his arrest, Bannon pled not guilty during an appearance at a Manhattan federal court. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, one of Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, is now in a coma at a Siberian hospital, the victim of what his allies say appears to be poisoning engineered by the Kremlin. Navalny's organization is now scrambling to make arrangements to transfer him to Germany for treatment. The 44-year-old fell ill on a flight back to Moscow after drinking tea, which they now say was poisoned. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Corner, Jeff Quite joins us, and he's written quite a book, and you can imagine, I know you're all going to know why I was interested in this book, The Irish Fiasco, Stolen Silver in 17th Century Ireland, a Luc Trumaine adventure, and he's a bit of a cad, this Luc, and we're going to let Jeff get into it, but some of the female readers are not happy with that, perhaps. So, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And tell us, why did you write this book? What drew you to this story?
Well, what drew me to the story was a reference that I've discovered in the records of the Spanish Inquisition, of all things. They were not only concerned with making sure you had the right doctrine and believed the right things, but they were the border patrols of the border protection of the period, and they very worried a lot of Spanish silver.
Spanish silver. I know, so intriguing when you think about that. That's the first thing. It's like, what is this stolen? What is this stolen silver? And that's the idea, right? What is it? Where did it go? What is it?
Yep. And the King of Spain was certainly out to help the English king against his parliamentary rebels. So it was thought to be sent to the royalists, but they never got it. And then other people said, no, the papacy got involved and sent it to the Irish rebels who wanted to create an Irish Republic, you know, for 300 years before it actually happened. So this gave me a nice basic plot. Where was the silver and what effect did it have on the history of Ireland?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And the history of Ireland is something that, you know, this has been arm wrestled with for many, many, many years. You know, we could say centuries, actually. And so quite an undertaking on your part, but you have a background steeped in history. You were actually the head of a history department, in fact, at the University of New England. But tell listeners where the University of New England is located.
Well, in Australia, the University of New England is located north of Sydney, in a regional area called New England, and in the town of Armidale. And I've spent the last 34 years of my working life teaching history at that institution. And my emphasis was on early modern Europe, and I was particularly interested in the English Civil War. And part of that involved Ireland quite dramatically. The Irish rebels massacred English settlers, and then the English king made an alliance with the Catholics, which lost him support in England, and so the whole intrigue went on. And in 1648-49, the period in which the Irish fiasco is centred, was a very critical period, a dramatic turning point. The English had executed the king. The Parliament was getting an army ready under Cromwell to invade Ireland. And as both American and Australian listeners would know, to this very day, Oliver Cromwell's name amongst the descendants of Irish people, he's still hated. I hate to admit I'm very pro-Cromwell, and part of the Irish fiasco tries to put a positive light on it. If that silver could be used by the royalists, they probably could have held out. Cromwell may not have been able to be as successful as he was. So if that silver fell into the hands of Parliament, the English might have won. If it didn't, history of Ireland would have been very different. So Luke Tremaine has the whole history of Ireland in his hands.
Ooh, I like that, and I love how you said that the history of Ireland could have been different. And as someone who has taken the show and traipsed around Ireland, boy, that is exactly, again, what people talk about there. So I love the intrigue mixed with some history. And then Luke, tell us about Luke Tremaine. What's he like?
Luke Tremaine is devoted to Oliver Cromwell, and through the series of novels. One, Cromwell starts as his cavalry captain. Then Luke becomes a special agent. He's Cornish. He goes off to the Netherlands to fight the Spaniards. He has no time for Spanish Catholics. And when the Civil War begins, he comes back to fight with Cromwell. And unlike a lot of the Cromwellian troops, he's not particularly religious. He isn't a Puritan. He doesn't go around singing psalms like some of their units did. He's a professional soldier. And unfortunately for modern-day women's lib, etc., their attitude to women was very callous. I mean, the professional soldier, wenching, drinking, and killing. That was what life was about. At least Luke tries to do it for a noble cause, the security of the English state.
Yeah.
Which is not what Irish people would readily accept.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, the name of the book is called The Irish Fiasco, Stolen Silver in 17th Century, or in 17th Century. Boy, it's interesting kind of, you know, looking at the 17th century, but Stolen Silver in 17th Century Ireland, a Luke Tremaine adventure. What do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Well, I think they get four genres for the price of one. Anyone interested in history, obviously, the history of Ireland in the mid-17th century is fascinating. Secondly, those who like spy thrillers and high politics, you get that sort of aspect in this as well. Then you have the high adventure, the hero Luke crosses Ireland several times, being hit on the head or hitting other people and almost getting killed. You have that whole adventure. My motivation for these aspects of the genre, I was always fascinated with Horatio Hornblower, C.S. Forrester's book on an 18th century sea captain, and Brother Cadfile, Alice Peters' medieval monk. And so my hero is in the middle. He's a 17th century cavalry officer. And the most fascinating part of all, and I hope it gives the readers an opportunity to guess who the murderers are, because in Luke Tremaine there are several, in the Irish Fiasco, several murders. Can the reader discover who they are before the author does? And I've modelled that on the classics like Agatha Christie, where you give enough clues to get to the right answer, but confuse everybody with red herrings. So I think the simple answer is a reader will get what they're looking for from it.
I like that. You know, and again, we're speaking to Jeff Quaife, and he's written this book that we're talking about. He's right. It has all these genres mixed in, and it is intriguing, and trying to solve it and figure out how you feel about it is quite intriguing. For you, what was it like to do this when you finally pulled it together and, you know, you put it to bed, as it were? Did you feel excited about it, that you had been able to pull this together? Like you said, I think the key thing that we unlocked is different genres.
I think the moment when one feels good about completing it, my method of writing is a bit shambolic in many ways. The first draft, I just sit down and write the narrative out of my head. It can be contradictory, etc., etc., etc. And then one goes through various drafts on making sure everything is logical, it fits in well, and finally the sort of how it's expressed. And I think when one finishes that final draft, you feel good. But then you immediately think, well, what does Luke Tremaine do next? So you get into the next book.
That's a very, very good answer, and let's leave everybody with that intrigue. Jeff, Quaife, thank you so much again. The Irish Fiasco, what an intriguing book indeed, and you can get it on Amazon.com. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Wow, the timing of this book couldn't be better, I have to say. I've talked about this so many times on the air. People I know that struggle with what I call mental disease, and it comes in different forms, and the frustrations that I see with people where they feel really, really stuck. I had a wonderful off-air conversation with Crystal V. Benson. She's written a book called My Complete Diary, Season by Season, Five Aspects of Living. And this book would be, I think, a book that anybody really could use. I mean, anybody, because I think we all suffer some effects of something mentally. When you look at what Michelle Obama even said, the former First Lady of the United States, the other day, about feeling as though she had a mild depression that she was dealing with. So once again, my point is this book is brilliant. It brings in so many important things and can, I think, help so many people. So Crystal, with that, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Why did you write the book?
Well, I work in mental health and drug and alcohol, and I was dealing with clients that had quite severe mental illnesses, schizophrenia in particular. I had two clients that I developed the process around this to help them be able to broaden their life, because I would go and see them once a fortnight around medication, and they may not have seen anybody else during that period of time. They just had no social life, they had no connection, they weren't self-caring, and it was a process of getting them to focus on themselves, increase their self-care around their diet, their sleep patterns, what they were doing to move, get out of the house, go for a walk, and to be able to develop routines. Routines build resilience, and we need resilience, especially in the world we're living in at the moment, where it's very strange times.
What you said just right there is a hashtag. Routines build resilience. Absolutely. And routines are the things that a lot of people avoid, especially if they're struggling. Do you find that in your work?
Absolutely, because we lose motivation. So one of the things is we have to retweak tools at that point. And we all lose motivations, all of us. And I think by understanding ourselves a bit better, we can recognize maybe a tool we've been using to help with that. It's not working anymore. We've got to tweak it. We've got to change it a little bit. And by looking at ourselves, seeing what we do day in, day out, we can adjust those things. And we need to talk to other people about this too when we get stuck. We need to reach out and let people know that.
Oh, so well said. Absolutely not. Don't fear reaching out. Tell me about the five aspects of living. In your book, you go really deep on it, and that's why I think everyone should pick up a copy of it, because we could all use it. But give us a little kind of, you know, Cliff Notes version of it.
Well, it's about dietary intake. What do we put into our body? What makes us feel good? What makes us feel healthy? And that's everything. That's alcohol. That's drugs. That's our medication. That's everything that we put into our body. And fluids. Don't forget, we need to stay hydrated. I don't know if you guys are wearing masks like we are in Victoria here in Australia, but you need to stay hydrated. So it's those things we put into our body. We also need to look at how we sleep, because we are creating a problem around sleep because of expectations. And we need to recognize sleep has got to be good when we wake up feeling refreshed, whatever it is. And we've got to figure out how that pattern works for us. I talk about sleep windows to people. That we get sleep windows where we're tired and we're more likely to go to sleep during that period of time. So we need to think about when does that happen for us. Get to know ourselves. Exercise, we've got to move. We're creatures that need to move. And I encourage people, I used to encourage clients, go for a 20-minute walk in one direction and then walk back. And that way, if you do that daily, you're getting your movement in. We know it affects mood. And we know that we need to look at our moods and say, how do I actually feel today? Check in with yourself. I do it in the morning when I wake up. I check in on how do I feel today? Do I feel like I'm rested? Do I feel like I'm ready for the day? And then I can adjust an attitude around it. I can decide how am I going to approach today. But I have to have that conversation myself, and I have to also know what's going on with myself to do it. And the last thing that I tell people to do, we're social creatures. We need to have contact with other people. So we need to figure out ways that we develop social contacts that are nourishing and routine.
Yeah, that is true, especially now we're seeing that, absolutely. What do you hope, having said all that, what do you hope people take away from reading your book, My Complete Diary, Season by Season, Five Aspects of Living?
So what I want them to do is get to know themselves, get to know what works for them, what their automatic reactions are to things, because when we get stresses, we're going to have an automatic position we take, the way that we think, the way we're going to react and behave. We need to understand what that looks like. And if you're not happy with it, do something different. Try something different. Adjust it. Think about what you'd like to be like when you react to things. And don't forget, we're not perfect. This is about being a human being.
Yep, we're not perfect. Be a human being. For you, how gratifying was it to finish the book, to wrap it up, to go through the process?
Oh, my gosh, if I'd have known what was involved in publishing a book, I would have probably never done it. But it came about quite organically, and I'm glad that it did. It was a process of when I first started the concept about somebody recording their own daily activities in a diary and being able to reflect with somebody about those so that they could make better decisions, choose different options. When I finally saw the book and had it in my hands, it was pretty overwhelming, I can tell you. I didn't quite burst into tears, but I was very, very emotional. I can tell you it was a huge thing. And to know that people are using it and finding it a benefit is even better.
And you have all this experience, and you poured that into the book. And the book is you, is your passion, is what you've learned works, and wanting to help people. Along those same lines, the people that you've helped, how gratifying is it to see them come out on the so-called other side?
It's pretty good because, you know, we develop tools and toolkits for being able to function and to do our best. But we also need to be open to the fact that we're going to always be developing, tweaking those tools, gathering more tools. It's an ongoing process, and that's part of the human condition. We're always going to be adjusting and adapting and changing our behaviour and our thoughts. What doesn't change a lot for people is what they believe, and that's pretty important to know what those beliefs that we hang on to that are not negotiable, because they will influence how we will live our lives. And they'll influence whether or not we would want to do a book like this too. We all get stuck, you know. I get stuck. People that are very well qualified in mental health get stuck. But it's recognizing that and allowing ourselves to be okay with it, and thinking, okay, I need to tell people, and I need something external to myself at this point, and then I'll figure this out, and it'll be okay in the end.
Yeah, it'll be okay in the end, and that's what we're all shooting for. Why 3 months? You know, you talk about sharing a 3-month diary that can help anyone track daily life activities. Is 3 months just a good milestone?
It is, and particularly, you know, if you live in climates where you have, you know, snow on the ground for long periods of time, and summers can be pretty hot, or you need to look at this from a seasonal aspect, because there's a few things that we know can influence our mental health and the way that we're thinking and processing emotions, and that can be around seasons. It can be around anniversaries. If people know there's a particular period of the year where they find it's quite difficult and they notice that, use a diary for that time. You'll get some insight into what's happening for you.
There you go. Use a diary. What was the best part about writing this book?
Being able to gather a lot of stuff that I know and putting into a very simple presentation for people, but is quite meaningful for them to be able to get the information about themselves out of that.
Yeah, so pulling it all together. And I have to say, too, that I like how you emphasize the seasons. For everybody listening, you know, this is radio, but the book, My Complete Diary, Season by Season, 5 Aspects of Living, you have the seasons. I mean, that's exactly what you talked about. It's, yeah. There is something to how we feel in the seasons. It's like therapists say about vitamin D and getting some sun, so it's tough in those winter months, right?
That's right, yeah. And, you know, we have seasons in our lives, too, you know. You know, the different stages of our lives can bring different things to us, too.
Yeah, so that's absolutely something to think about for sure. And we talked about what you wanted people to take away from it, and I'm sure your friends were so proud of you. What was their reaction? I mean, you said how excited you were that you didn't realize all the work that went into it, but when you finished it, it was just wonderful. But for your friends and the people who have known you for a while, what was their reaction?
I think they weren't surprised that I did it because I'm very passionate about people living their best lives, knowing themselves as best as they can, and, you know, educating people in any way that I possibly can for that. They weren't surprised, but they were delighted for me, for sure.
All right, those are some good friends, and this is really a good book. Anybody could use it, let me tell you, because we all get stuck. Crystal, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've really appreciated it, and I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.